Let's just have your moment, have your time. I'm going to just sit here and listen.
Yeah, man. Kadarius Toney's a baller.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Fade the Chalk Live is back. I'm your host, Derek Brown of FTNFantasy.com, and we're here to talk waivers. All of the players you need to be adding before week six. Adam, what's going on, man? I know you're still a little bit under the weather, but welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you. That's, you know, what happens when you have a three-year-old nephew with a cold and he's over on the weekend.
Oh, he decides to share. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love having him around. So, yeah, I was a little under the weather, so, you know, had to deal with that, but I'm feeling a little bit better. And yeah, we have week six already, waivers. I think this is the most interesting week for waivers because we've had weeks where it's, you know, Elijah Mitchell and then Chuba Hubbard. It's like the one guy you think you spend 30 to 40%. Mm-hmm. But this week, you have two teams on bye. There were more injuries, but I also think it's a lot. I think it's a more just overall well-rounded week for waivers. I think there's two players that probably stand out, again, due to injuries. But I also think it's kind of deep for waivers this week. So there's a lot of players to talk about.
Oh, it's going to be fun, man. I mean, I kind of want to get into this, talk about the game last night, too, because it popped off. I mean, look.
If you went to bed last night thinking you won, you were mistaken. Like, odds are you were mistaken. There were in my main home league, there were three matchups. One of them was mine that changed because of last night. So three players. Oof. Not should have, but thought they won. And the other thing that was weird about it is, like, the Ravens offense was doing nothing in the first half. And in the second half, it was just Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown, Lamar, just game over.
Absolute fireworks. And the Opto, baby, the Opto was popping, man. If you've been using the optimizer over at FTNDaily.com, if you have not gotten into that yet, you need to, man. Our Discord was lit up like a Christmas tree last night. Subs were taking down things, winning, making green, always green screens, baby. So if you have not done that yet, head over to FTNDaily.com right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTC. Save 10%. Our own David Jones is just continually, man, so close at the milli. 0.5 points, 0.7, 1.5. It's coming. It's not an if, but to win. And so you need to be heading over. Get signed up for FTNDaily.com. That game was amazing, Adam. I talked about it in my write-up. If people have been following all the showdown content over at FTN Daily, like, Jonathan Taylor was primed for massive regression, man. Most in red zone carries in the NFL, most inside the 10, and he was primed for touchdowns to bounce back in his way. And I put this out on Twitter, man. I was like, I was kidding, but I was serious as well because I followed my own advice and played all these players in lineups. I was like, the regression model shows that Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Mark Andrews are all going to get in the end zone this week. And then it was like, pew, 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 pew. They all got in the end zone, dude.
It's like they didn't even just get in the end zone. Like, they got in the end zone in ridiculous ways, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, 76-yarder from Taylor. Pittman has like a 40-yarder where he mosses a defender. And then Andrews gets in essentially four times because he had two touchdowns and two-point conversions. So it was just...
Well, Andrews pulled his best Travis Kelce impression, my friend. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it pre-show. Like, the Ravens got in a situation where they just went hurry up and the Colts were in this heavy zone. And Andrews in the middle of the field, it was 15 yards, 18 yards, 12 yards, 18 yards. And then, of course, he gets the touchdowns, too. So... Lamar is, you know, with all the injuries the Ravens had in the offseason and everything that's happened, they're 4-1. I saw Good Morning Football tweeted out. He's like, Lamar Jackson himself is like 13th or 14th in the NFL in total yards. So he's right up there in terms of MVP candidates. Their offense is changing. We expected it to with Greg Roman talking about them throwing more, but they don't really have a running game, in the backfield. And look out now, but Rashad Bateman might play next week.
And we're not going to bring him up on waivers, and that's only because we've talked about him for the last two freaking weeks, okay? So if he's still sitting out there, this is so awesome to see what the Ravens are doing. And here's the other part about this. Yes, they've been down early in games. They've been playing catch-up and stuff. Baltimore needs to scrap this, we're going to run, we're going to throw the ball only about 50%. They need to scrap that. Toss it in the dumpster and forget about it. What Baltimore is showing you and what Lamar Jackson is showing you, which, dear Lord, he's throwing pretty good for a running back, Adam. I mean, oh, Lord. It's not like anybody was talking about this all offseason about how Baltimore could throw more this year, how Lamar Jackson is a better passer than anybody gives him credit for. Nobody at all said that. Now you have Rashad Bateman coming back. The defense is not playing up to like previous Baltimore levels.
They can't
Baltimore
tackle.
No, they can't, dude. And like they need to scrap this. We're going to run the ball and try to ground you into the dust because their running backs are all dust. In 2016, they would have been an impressive collection. You'd have been like, oh shit, look at all these running backs they got. But the year is 2021.
Yeah, in 2016.
Those guys are not doing anything.
In 2016, if your fantasy team had Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman, you're probably in good shape.
Hell, even Latavius Murray. I want to say he scored like 12 touchdowns that year.
Right. Well, so, I mean, that's probably his Raiders year.
Yep. I mean, the thing about it is they need to, their pace is quietly better, and it's helping prop up their passing rate as well as the game scripts. But Baltimore needs to just toss this we want to run the ball mentality out the window. It's not working. You don't have the people nor the offensive line to do this. Spread it out. Throw the ball. Even I'm not telling you got to throw the ball at 70% of the time. You don't have to throw it at a top five clip. Their pace is already surprising. I mean, they're in the 20s. That's all you need to prop up a passing rate. I mean, get them to 59%. And Lamar Jackson is going to shred. Like, I want to see that personally, and you have Rashad Bateman coming back. I think it's wheels up, man. Now you're adding a really damn good receiver, and with Sammy Watkins' injury, if he misses any kind of time, it clears the path. The path can be seen for Rashad Bateman to be a stretch run hero.
Can we just talk about the AFC for the next decade? With Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Lamar
Jackson. I was
going to
say, all this is what a Bills conversation? That's what you're shifting
no,
to?
No, no.
Is that right?
No, because like, dude, Justin Herbert's ridiculous.
Oh, he's like, awesome. So
like,
good.
They're so good. They're going to dominate the NFL for the next decade at least. So
yep.
It's fun to watch. And again, as a Bills fan, it's playoff seeding. Would have been nice for the Colts to not lose that game, but being able to watch Lamar do what he did was very fun. So I'm not mad about it.
No, I'm not mad about it either. I the other thing is like I'm not gonna say I hope that the Ravens don't, but like I don't want them to go out and make a move for somebody like a Marlon Mack or who have you.
I actually just saw that, like, the Chiefs are apparently looking at Marlon Mack, which isn't too surprising, but
I mean it's not crazy surprising considering now CEH is down and we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna get to all the injuries and stuff like that. But with all these waiver wire ads, man, before we get up out of this game, I mean, if you have not picked up Rashad Bateman, please go do so. If he's sitting out on the waiver wire, they did not play him this week. I think it's to me, people could say, oh, that's not great. That means that when he does hit the NFL field, if he's like truly 100% from the word go, this is exactly what you want for a guy that, and I'm not telling you he's definitively going to be the unquestioned number one in Baltimore from the time that he gets his first snap, but the talent is there. I mean, we've talked about this all offseason, Adam. Like, we had Thor on the podcast. We broke this down. We've talked about his skill set over numerous articles over at FTN Fantasy. The guy is really that talented, and he's that dude. So go pick him up. Don't let him sit out there. If you got him stashed on the IR or you're stashing him on the bench, do not drop him. So with the injury news coming out of Kansas City, if they don't make a move for Marlon Mack, tell me why Darrell Williams needs to be that top pickup this week, and what are your thoughts on him? Like, how much fab are you willing to blow? Considering what, I mean, any kind of Marlon Mack news that could happen.
Yeah, Darrell Williams, you can't go up to, like, where Chuba was going and stuff, because Clyde, it sounds like he might not even be on IR. They're going to mix in Jerick McKinnon and passing downs. And again, like, there's a chance they bring in Marlon Mack. And we've seen the Chiefs, even when the running backs are healthy, just abandon the run, especially in close. So, if you have Clyde on your team, yeah, I would probably go, 20% at least for Darrell Williams. But I wouldn't, like Devontae Booker, there's a chance Barkley and Clyde Edwards-Helaire both miss around the same amount of time, maybe 1 to 3 weeks, right? I'd much, even though the offense is different, I feel much better about Devontae Booker's workload. I mean, he had 19 carries or 19 touches after Barkley left. Like, he's going to get 75% of the work. So, I would much rather go for Devontae Booker, but obviously, Darrell Williams will provide, flex value until Clyde's back, most likely. But I just think the Chiefs probably just keep going super pass heavy, and their defense is terrible, so that will only help with that.
Yeah, agree. I wouldn't be breaking the bank for Darrell Williams. I mean, if they make a move or Clyde doesn't miss a ton of time, I think 25-30%, maybe if you want to get aggressive, go 35. I think that's about right. Because really there's a lot of uncertainty here. And for everything that people were talking about with CEH and stuff, and he wasn't doing anything in this defense and they want to lean into the pass, all those things still apply for Darrell Williams. And Darrell Williams is not as talented as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So we know that Jerick McKinnon's going to factor in. They're still going to stay super pass heavy. You look at what their schedule kind of sets up for as well, Adam. Washington, Tennessee, the Giants, Green Bay, the Raiders. We're looking 5 weeks out. The Raiders are an extremely, extremely good matchup. Washington's kind of middle of the road. Tennessee is good versus the run. Giants are middle of the road. Packers are actually a good run defense. So
I don't think Tennessee's good against the run.
They're so-so, man. I mean, if you look at a lot of their adjusted line yard metrics.
James Robinson was running all over them, and then Urban Meyer forgot to put him back in the game and literally said he wasn't aware. He literally said he wasn't aware that James Robinson was,
we can't talk about Herb. Herb does all kinds of dumb shit. And this is not even this is just a football take. So I can't even go down Herb Street this morning. With Darrell Williams, I agree. I wouldn't be breaking the bank for him. One player that I do think is extremely interesting, and shout out to Joe Metz. His waiver wire article is up on the site over at FTN Fantasy. And it's the first player that's mentioned here. Khalil Herbert. I think that he is a guy that's not going to cost you nearly as much as somebody like a Darrell Williams. And yes, he got a lot of touches. He got the same amount of touches as Damian Williams last week, 18 and 18. And there is some noise to Khalil Herbert's usage, okay? I'm not going to say that there's not, because a lot of this plays into the game script of that game. You look at when they were trailing or when they were tied. I mean, Damian Williams outsnapped him 9-1. So a lot of this and Khalil Herbert's usage was because the Bears were having a lead. Are they going to find themselves in positive game scripts in the upcoming games? Not necessarily. They get Green Bay, they get Tampa Bay, they get San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. A lot of those games, or all of them, they are probably trailing. So are they going to be massive Damian Williams games? Probably. The thing about Khalil Herbert is we know David Montgomery, unlike these other situations, because even if you want to talk about Devontae Booker, and we'll get to him, Devontae Booker, there is talk about Saquon Barkley only missing a game, maybe two games. So you're not looking at a guy that's 4 to 5 weeks. And maybe that's the good side of what David Montgomery misses too. So with Khalil Herbert, we know that he has a role in this backfield. He's going to get some early down work. Chicago has shown us, and that was one of the biggest reasons why people were still going back to Justin Fields and DFS this last week. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not doing that. Not with Chicago, that in neutral scripts, in Justin Fields' first two starts, 23% passing rate. They don't want to throw the ball. Now, what this means is we get a lot of rushing attempts. And so Khalil Herbert could be a guy that, as long as David Montgomery is out, is going to have flex value for you. Maybe he gets into the end zone and he's an RB2 in some weeks. But with what Chicago is showing us, I mean, this could be I don't want to sound like I'm being hyperbolic here, but this could kind of be the poor man's Cleveland Browns for at least right now, Adam.
Yeah, except the fact that their offensive line is
I said poor man's, okay? This is a dollar store, okay?
I know. But Yeah, I mean, the Browns or the Bears are running the ball 51.5% of the time. Only the Saints and Browns are running the ball more. So they are clearly running the ball, and that's a huge part of their offense. So, like, yes, they're not going to be ahead all the entire game like they were on Sunday, but they're clearly going to be able to run the ball enough to where Khalil Herbert is going to get 10 touches a game. Williams did get the majority of the goal line touches, but, like, the routes were, like, 10-7, I believe, in favor of Williams. So, like,
yep.
Herbert's one of those players that, especially, I don't think he would have been as under the radar this week if Barkley didn't get hurt and if Clyde didn't get hurt. But now everybody's going to go after Darrell Williams. Everybody's going to go after Devontae Booker. Khalil Herbert could definitely fly under the radar, and you could get him maybe, like, 10-15%, whereas maybe if you didn't have Darrell Williams and Devontae Booker, you might have had to go 20-25%.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, man. So lead us into another name, and oh, God, here it comes. You put them all in caps. I know, here it comes. Just have your moment, have your time. I'm going to just sit here and listen.
Yeah, man, Kadarius Toney's a baller. It's almost as if somebody said that all offseason. Look, I liked Kadarius Toney. You and Pat Corain made fun of me. I get it. And even as much as I loved Kadarius Toney, I was shocked that he went in the first round. But the talent, I mean, you see it. And I understand that a huge part of his uptick in usage and playing time is because Shepard and Slayton have been injured. But now, regardless of who's healthy for the Giants, and right now, Kenny Galladay is going to miss time. Shepard and Slayton haven't practiced in 2 weeks. Even if they were healthy, you can't take Toney off the field right now. He just had 189 yards. He's top 10 in yards after contact or yards after the catch, despite only having 20 catches this year, whereas everybody else ahead of him in that category has like 10 more receptions than him. So, like, he made a play. You saw the route he ran against Diggs. Then there was a play where it was a 3rd and 4. He ran a quick out route, and then 4 tacklers were like trying to catch him, and the acceleration was ridiculous. And he almost scored from like 25 yards out. Like, he is an absolute playmaker. The Giants are in desperate need of playmakers right now. And they're like, you saw it when Galladay went down, their whole offense went through Kadarius Toney. They ran a play where they had him at Wildcat. Obviously, Daniel Jones being hurt had a lot to do with that as well. But like, he was a quarterback in high school, so they played him at Wildcat. They ran a trick play with him. Like, they're going to probably generate, especially with the injuries they have to Barkley and everybody else, they're going to probably try to generate 10 touches per game for Kadarius Toney. So, yeah, I'm excited. It was great to see him produce. He did it in a bunch of different ways, you know, sideline catches deep down the field, screens, quick passes, like everything, Kadarius Toney. And, yeah, he had a, like, we see rookies with rough preseasons and training camps, and it's like, uh-oh. But then we remember that it's a rookie entering the NFL. It's not going to be a seamless transition. And, oh, look, Ja'Marr Chase looks like one of the best young receivers in football. And Kadarius Toney looks like he clearly belongs in the NFL.
He's playing well, man. I'm not going to take anything away from it. And I mean, you're right on a lot of all those points. The fact that the Giants turned into, I mean, basically he turned into 2017 Evan Ingram is what happened. And regardless, and that is not throwing shade, but like literally everybody else on this offense went like they're hurt. They're not.
Yeah, and he
back.
Has the ability to catch passes too. So there's that bonus too.
I mean, he's playing extremely well, man. I'm not going to take anything away from Kadarius Toney. Playing extremely well. I will say, it'd be a lot better if he didn't decide to try to punch people. Much less like trying to punch a helmet. I never understand when players do that. I'm not advocating for fights during the game. I'm not talking about that at all. I just don't understand. If you're going to punch somebody, why are you punching a damn helmet? That never makes any sense to me. But Kadarius Toney needs to be picked up. If he's not rostered in your leagues, how high would you be going to get him?
25, 30.
Okay. I don't hate that. I don't hate that call at all because, I mean, if the injuries persist, if his talent shows out, you're looking at a guy that, there's a clear path, dude. Clear path where he could at least get a 25% target share in this offense. You know, he's been doing that, obviously, considering the last 2 weeks where he's shown us that, well, he can do that because he has. But continuing down the stretch, that can easily happen. Like, Darius Slayton is not commanding targets in this offense. Evan Engram is crapping his pants every time he gets a target in this offense. So really, like, you're looking at, what, Kenny Golladay coming back and some semblance of health, which we can't even say that that's going to be a definite because Kenny Golladay has been banged up since the word go. Like, preseason, offseason, it's been one blurb after the other of Kenny Golladay having something soft tissue, something injury-wise, something whatever, what have you. So, really, it's him and Sterling Shepard, maybe, if he comes back, competing for targets. So, or Saquon Barkley, like we're talking about. So, yeah, I don't hate going 25-30%, being aggressive, getting Kadarius Toney on your team. Another guy that I'm gonna bring up here, and this is a lot of, like, what he's done over the last few weeks. Another guy that both of us were high on the offseason. This is also your man's, okay? So we're just, this entire episode is just living in Adam Pfeiffer world. We're talking about some guys that you loved all offseason. Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to be picked up. He needs to be rostered, man. You look at, like, not only this offense, and Quintez Cephas didn't, I saw the news very quickly. He's out, right? Wasn't he like a broken collarbone?
Broken collarbone, he's out.
Yeah, he's out. So TJ Hockenson's banged up. You're looking at, like, who is he competing with targets? And the last 2 weeks, Amon-Ra St. Brown is showing that, like, we're talking about rookies emerging. This is what we were thinking about in the offseason and why we drafted him late, why we stashed him. If people dropped him, you need to make sure that he is not out there on the waiver wire. Because Amon-Ra St. Brown over the last 2 weeks, Adam, 21.9% target share. He has 16 freaking targets. 3 targets in the red zone. And I'm going to be ranking him aggressively, so I'm going to get to work on my ranks later today for FTN Fantasy. Those will be out today or tomorrow. I'm going to be ranking him very aggressively. Because the fact of it is, we have a guy that's getting a 22% target share, and now he's going up against the Bengals, and Mike Hilton in the slot has been freaking terrible. This is where you need to attack the Bengals at right now. Not their outside corners, which I know Davante Adams shredded them. Before then, they were playing extremely well. Mike Hilton is giving up an 81% catch rate, 110 passer rating in coverage. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a good target, and I know you'll probably bring him up later this week in DFS and stuff like that. He is a good target. If you need a plug-and-play player this week, Amon-Ra St. Brown is probably going to find his way into my top 36 wide receivers for the week. Again, I have not ranked, and we'll see where he sifts out. But I love him for this week, considering the matchup. If you need a guy that you need to pick up and plug and play right now, considering all these injuries, and he has upside in this matchup, as well as moving forward, because after that he gets the Rams. I don't want any part of Jalen Ramsey. Don't start him there. But then he gets Philly and Pittsburgh. Those are good teams versus the slot. They're not fantastic or overwhelming where you're like, ooh, I can't play Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a guy that I think is on the rise. Adam, what are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, so Cephas, it sucks too because Cephas was like showing some real signs for them. But losing him, Amon-Ra was a rotationary player for much of the first part of the season because he wasn't playing in two wide sets. They were going a lot of, because Tyrell Williams is still on IR. It was Cephas and Khalif Raymond. Now you look at the last game, obviously Cephas leaves and Amon-Ra ends up leading the team in snaps at receiver, in snaps and routes. So, and yeah, Swift is getting his targets and Jamal Williams is getting his carries, but we're starting to see the last couple weeks, Jared Goff's throwing more to the wide receivers. And in this offense that's not throwing the ball deep, which is not surprising, Amon-Ra benefits because he's that intermediate slot target that can get open quickly. So, yeah, he would have been on my list. I saw you add him, and I was proud. So, well done.
Oh, we talked about it, man, like, in the offseason. I told you the path for him to be a breakout guy was as a poor man's Jarvis Landry. That's what we're seeing, Adam. Like, he's operating out of the slot in the intermediate parts of the field. That's where Jared Goff is going to throw the ball because, good Lord, you talked about it. He is not going to push the ball outside the numbers. Not going to happen. So, I love him moving forward. If he's a guy that's going to get a weekly 20% target share, draw inside matchups against slot corners, and he's getting red zone work, this is the path to him being a productive player for your fantasy squads, whether it's flex worthy, whether it's wide receiver three. He is going to probably walk into some wide receiver 2 weeks.
This is like the timing of him starting to come along and get more opportunities. And then you have bye weeks, right? There's no Deebo Samuel this week. There's no Calvin Ridley this week. And it's only going to get worse, right? I mean, I'll talk about it in a little bit, but week seven, not only are there like four
or five teams.
Oh, that's
bye week Armageddon, dude.
There's a lot of teams on bye.
We talked about that in best ball season.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams on bye, and they are loaded offenses. Buffalo, the Chargers, Dallas. So just right there, there's like 7-8 receivers that are going to be on bye that are starting almost every week for you. So yeah, like players like Amon-Ra are going to be very, very, very valuable considering the uptick in usage. And again, I just always believed him as a player. So yeah, not even realizing it until it kind of I broke down the action from week five. But it was a good week for my rookie receivers that I loved.
It is, man. It was a good week for the brand. Going off the brand here for a second, because I know you've never been a tout for Devontae Booker. We brought him up a few times already. We know that as long as Saquon Barkley is out, he is going to get the work. Nobody else is going to get the work. You don't know. I'm sorry. Brightwell is not going to be a thing. Devontae Booker is going to be the guy back there. And it's not fantastic. It's not pretty. And you probably got to hold your nose. But I mean, he's going to get all the work. He's going to get 15-plus touches. I know the matchup's not great. We'll see if Dimes plays this week.
The matchups don't even matter. Matchups don't even matter at this point, right? You Barkley's out. Again, I mean, listen. You got to
be a top 24 running back this week just based off of like the position.
You have to replace Cordarrelle Patterson this week. He's on bye.
I mean, when it's sad times when you got to look for a bye week replacement for your RB1 wide receiver one on your squad.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, it's just, he's going to get, like you said, 15 to 18 touches. And again, with Tony as the only receiver there right now, probably going to walk into 4 or 5 targets as well. So
how high would you go considering knowing that like Saquon Barkley is only missing a week, maybe 2 weeks? I mean, I think I'm not going above 10-15%, maybe 12.5%.
What if you have Barkley on your team and you're like 2-3?
That's fair. If I have Barkley, then you're pushing 25 probably. Maybe
because here's the
over.
Thing. It's very case specific, right? Like if you have Barkley on your team and you have 1 or 2 wins, you're probably going high for Booker. You need a win. You need to make sure you get that replacement at running back. And I just feel so bad for Barkley because the guy works his tail off to get back from the injury and he gets injured like that fluke where somebody just steps on his ankle. Luckily, like it sounds like he's only going to miss a couple weeks, but I just hope it's not a situation where it's easily aggravating when he comes back. So yeah, it's pretty case specific, but if you have 1 or 2 wins and Barkley's on your team, you're going to have to go pretty high for Booker because there's always going to be a team, right? Running backs are tough. You lose Clyde. You lose all the other running backs. Maybe McCaffrey's back this week. By the way, he will be.
He will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like, released Rodney Smith off the practice squad.
Somebody is always going to spend a lot on a backup running back that's now the starter. It's just every league it's going to happen. So especially if Barkley's on your team, you're going to have to go higher. You're going to have to make sure you get him. Again, especially if you're looking at 1 or 2 wins right now. You have to.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. That's why I think that like there are some other players, and you got another running back here on the list. Like I would rather go lower on Khalil Herbert or the player that you're going to bring up later and save a little bit unless you have Barkley or unless you're like really in a pinch. And like, I've got to get this win or my season's probably done, and I'm just like forgetting about this league. But I mean, really, that kind of brings up an interesting point, Adam, before we get to more waiver wire ads here. If you are staring at 0-5 in your league, this is what you're looking at, and you're like, I'm just going to delete the app. I'm done with it. It's over. The season is kaput. Don't do that. Please don't do that. And this is not because, it's fantasy and you need to listen to this podcast more, which you should. You need to head to topropsports.com today. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. You're able to import your leagues from ESPN and Yahoo and create your own head-to-head contests. So if you feel like, okay, I can stay active in waivers. I can pick up players. I might not be able to win more than like 3 games with this team. But the weeks that I got a shot, you can make head-to-head contests over on this platform. Put up money. Get that buy-in back. Don't sit here and destroy your league. Delete the app. Forget about it. Head to Top Prop today. Get signed up with FTN. And look, there is a way where you can make this money back. We talked about running backs, Adam. We talked about Devontae Booker. Before we kind of talk about some bye week quarterbacks, things like that, last running back of note, you got Ramondre Stevenson's name. I've talked about him all offseason. People have probably tired of hearing me talk about the man. Tell me why you listed him here.
So I wouldn't go too crazy with Ramondre, but first of all, good to see him as a healthy, active for this game, not a healthy scratch. He actually played. Damien Harris, again, fumbles, and then he leaves that game banged up. I think he finished the game, but he's banged up right now. Like, Brandon Bolden, there's a reason he's been on this special teams unit for a long time. He's a special teams player. They should not want to give him carries. So, I mean, we saw Damien Harris fumble in week one. He fumbled pretty much right before we got in the end zone last week, and then we saw Ramondre Stevenson get some work. I just think it's someone to keep an eye on. Because of the situation, obviously James White's out for the season, and Damien Harris has been banged up a couple times now this year already, and he's had some ball security issues, and he plays under Bill Belichick's offense. So that's something we need to keep an eye on. So Ramondre is a guy, like I kind of said, everybody's going to look at Williams and Booker and then probably Khalil Herbert. Maybe you get Ramondre Stevenson for like 5% as a nice like kind of bench stash. And then while we're on the Patriots, Hunter Henry. The Patriots obviously paid both tight ends a ton of money this offseason, right? And you would think, okay, they're going to be heavily utilized. Kind of, right? Hunter Henry is. He's 11th among all tight ends in routes run. Jonnu Smith's 40th in routes run among tight ends.
Oof.
He's like top 12 in run blocking snaps among tight ends. He ran 8 pass routes on Sunday to Hunter Henry's 25. And Hunter Henry now has touchdowns in consecutive games. He's kind of become that second target for Mac Jones after Jacoby Myers. And yeah, like we talked about, you still feel better if you picked up Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz. Like those are the guys you're still starting over Hunter Henry. But if you missed out on them and you're hurt at tight end, again, George Kittle on IR, whatever. Hunter Henry is probably the next guy up for me. Like after that Dawson Knox, Mike Gesicki, Dalton Schultz range.
Yeah, I don't hate the Hunter Henry call. I mean, and that's going to lead me to two other tight ends that I want to bring up here because the tight end position is a wasteland. I mean, all these other late round guys have really fallen off the map or just haven't produced, been hurt, what have you. But we do have some guys that are kind of like emerging out of the weeds. Hunter Henry is one of them. We talked about him in the offseason, and apparently Jonnu Smith's not going to be a thing this year. This is going to lead me to two guys that I think need to be picked up, especially if you're looking at streaming, you're looking at, rest of the season value, to be honest. Ricky Seals-Jones, this is more of a streamer and short-term fix.
I don't know if Logan Thomas is out.
How long is Logan Thomas going to be out? I mean, like...
I think he's going to miss, like, they're said, like, 4 to 5 weeks, potentially, like, in short-term, yeah. Sort of. But I don't think he's a streamer. I think he's a legitimate top 12 tight end.
As long as Thomas is out, I agree with you. That's yeah. The big thing.
Dude, his usage was like every down. I think he missed one snap on offense. Like he was an every down player, and he got like volume and targets that Logan mm-hmm. Thomas hadn't even seen yet this year.
It was awesome. And the other thing about this offense is banged up around him, man. Like De'Ami Brown is hurt. Cam Sims is hurt. Not saying that they were going to garner a lot of targets. Samuel is week to week. I just pulled up Tyler Lochner's injury situations to monitor article over at FTN Fantasy. He rolls through all of these, mentions that situation in the article. And Ricky Seals-Jones, like, that sets up a target vacuum for him. Like, he can fill this. And we saw that last year. He ran a route on 87% of Heineke's dropbacks, 19.5 target share. 3 red zone targets. And the other thing about this, Adam, we're talking about, even if it's just 4 to 5 weeks, the schedule sets up extremely good for him.
Oh, this week, like, he's the chalk on DraftKings, by the way. So,
He probably will be. And for good reason. I mean, Kansas City is 22nd against the tight end position. But you look at the next few matchups. He gets Green Bay. They're 28th. Denver's not a good matchup. But then he gets Tampa Bay. They're 25th. These are good. I mean, three out of the next 4 weeks, we're talking about plus matchups, and this is the tight end position. A guy that's getting almost a 20% target share. This offense is banged up. They got to throw it to somebody. They're going to still throw at a top 10 clip in the NFL. The pace is good. Ricky Seals-Jones is a guy that if you're looking for a player that for the next 4 weeks is going to be probably your starting tight end in a lot of different leagues, much less maybe holds rest of the season value in that type of tight end one conversation. We've seen the talent is there, man. You look at multiple different metrics over multiple seasons, yards per route run, he's popped in those.
He was a popular sleeper. Well. Remember when he was in Arizona that all season? Yep. Like, he was a very popular
sleeper.
Converted
wide receiver. The athleticism is off the charts. The guy can play football, and he's good. So I think that all the things line up that you need to go pick up Ricky Seals-Jones. Another converted wide receiver that I'm going to bring up here, Dan, the Air Yards Arnold, man. Like, him heading into Jacksonville, and yes, I know we're going to talk about it because I see you shaking your head already.
I'm just mad that we're talking about Dan Arnold because we shouldn't be, because LaVisca and Marv should have popped off, and that's all I'm going to say.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. Okay? Visca deserves targets. So does Marv. I played some of them in DFS this last week. I feel that pain. Trust me, so does my wallet. But Dan Arnold, for the redraft leagues, my friend, Dan Arnold needs to be considered, needs to be picked up. He garnered a role from the time he entered this team and this depth chart, which I was like, man, I don't think he's going to get that many targets. He hasn't been with the team long enough. We saw that in the first game. The second game, he goes out. He gets 8 targets, 6 catches, 64 yards in week 5. He runs a route on 78% of Lawrence's dropbacks. And right now, amongst all tight ends with 10 or more targets right now, this man stands 9th in yards per route run. And the reason I bring this up, we're talking about efficiency and talent and the ability to gain more targets. Do you know who he's tied with, Adam, in yards per route run? Kyle freaking Pitts. And I say this because people can say, oh, he's only 9th. Okay, I want to give you some context about where that stands for a player who is talented and is earning targets in this offense. So you need to go pick him up. The upcoming matchups they're not terrible. You got Miami, Seattle, Buffalo, Indy. 3 of those matchups are middle of the road, Buffalo is tough. If Milano is playing, they're tough against tight ends.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are middle of the road.
And I think
a lot
of those
below.
Matchups, targets end up funneling to the tight end because Miami has good perimeter corners. Mm-hmm. I know, Tampa Bay just did what they...
Seattle does not, but you could throw on all things
not,
Seattle.
Yeah, so not everybody matter. Has Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Yep. So yeah, and like Dan Arnold, we talked about it in when he was with Carolina. Like he's been an athletic. He's always been up there on yards per route run among tight ends. And mm-hmm. I mean, Jacksonville traded a young, promising cornerback for him. That was a CJ Henderson trade, right? So like. They clearly gave up quite a bit to get him, and they had nothing at tight end when the season started. DJ Chark's not there, and they actually used LaVisca Chenault, and maybe this is a reason why he didn't get many targets. They used him downfield and out wide more. They didn't use him in the slot as much. Maybe if that continues, that helps Dan Arnold. So, yeah, like I'm tilted that Marv and Visca didn't pop off like they probably should have, but Dan Arnold's always been an interesting player. He was kind of an interesting sleeper before the season started again, kind of like Ricky Seals-Jones in the past. But I think the yards per out run metric is important and it's interesting because he's kind of always been high in that category.
Yeah, and we're looking for telltale signs of, all right, what are these players doing on the target volume that they're being given? And if they are playing well, are they going to earn more targets? Because that's what happens, Adam. Like, that's why people... You know, they bring up the Jalen Guyton's of the world, or they bring up the DeMarcus Robinson's of the world, and they're like, but he's playing snaps. I don't give two shits if you're out there fit-bitten. If you don't have the ability to sit here and get open and earn targets by getting open, and you're not efficient with the routes that you're given, you're not going to earn more targets. You're probably going to get cannibalized by some other player coming up and maybe snatching your job. But so you look at Dan Arnold. He's got the physical acumen. He's got the talent. He's shown us in smaller sample sizes that he can earn targets. He's already doing that from the word go in Jacksonville and at a position where we're hurting, man. Like outside of like your top five guys, maybe six. That position overall is hurting. So you got to consider Ricky Seals-Jones. You got to consider Dan Arnold as pickups this week. I know we got some bye week guys here, and looking at the quarterback position, close us out here, Adam. Who are the few names you want to bring up before we get up out of here?
Yeah, so this is like if you have room on your bench to just stash a player, right? This week, it's not really as bad, right? It's Matt Ryan and the 49ers quarterbacks. But in week seven, man, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, they're all on bye. So if you want to try to get a head start on being prepared for that, Jameis Winston, his touchdown rate is kind of insane, but he's actually been pretty good in the red zone. He's going to get Michael Thomas back probably by week seven. There's a very good chance Michael Thomas is back, and he's got Seattle, who give up 450 total yards to everybody. And then if you can't get Jameis for week seven, don't forget about Tua. He might be back this week, week six, and then week seven he gets Atlanta. So those are two quarterbacks, again, just if you have an extra roster spot, if you want to plan, if you have Josh Allen or Dak or Justin Herbert and they're on bye in week seven, I think those are two targets to look at potentially. Just because the matchups are great. And like Jameis has been good in fantasy for a lot of these games when he's in good matchups. Taysom Hill's in concussion protocol because for some reason they threw him a deep pass and he got hit. And it's like, dude, Sean Payton, like he's very valuable. You can't have Taysom Hill get hurt. I don't understand that, but yeah. Jameis, again, if he gets Michael Thomas back ahead of a week seven matchup against Seattle, that's very juicy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like the calls, especially, dude, the Tua call. I mean, you want to be ahead of your league, and especially if you have the room and you're looking at bye weeks, because once they start, man, you got to be planning ahead like this, because you don't want to be in a situation where it's like, oh, crap, I got to sit here and go out and pay a lot more fab, because now people are talking about this. If you can stay 1 week ahead of the trend, as far as like looking at your roster, looking at where bye weeks are, and especially at the quarterback position, dude, you could easily sneak Jameis Winston or Tua. Like if they're not rostered, especially Tua,
especially this week, nobody's going to add a quarterback this week with all the players we talked about. Nobody's going to add Jameis Winston or Tua.
No. So you got to be rostering them. You got to sit here and plan for these situations ahead of time. As well as you need to be looking at players like you're talking about a Michael Thomas. I'm not saying that people have dropped Michael Thomas, but I do know in a lot of leagues, players like Jerry Jeudy have been dropped because of injuries. Maybe Bateman sitting out there. These are all kind of things you need to be considering for your rosters, that like players that maybe are, it's not this week, maybe it's next week. But if your squad is sitting at like 4-1 or 5-5, you know, you've lost one game or you're undefeated right now. You need to be considering these things to pad your bench and give you added upside for the rest of the season. And you have that ability to do that in your record. Like if you're sitting at that, you're like, shoot, that's fine. I can burn a roster spot. I can hold this guy for a week or 2 weeks, because once he comes back, if he's healthy and plays good down the stretch, it could put my squad over the top and you're sneaking him through with waivers right now. These are the moves that separate your team from the rest of the teams in your league, especially when games matter the most. When we get to fantasy playoffs, we get down the stretch, and it's like you're looking at seeding. You're looking at, okay, do I get a bye? And the byes are massive in your fantasy leagues, because then that's one less win you got to get before you get to the championship week. So Adam and I are out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow to discuss trade candidates before your squads head to week six. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at Chalk Fade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.